about the minutes. Jason, anything you want to say?
No, I think what we can do is, if we end up getting a quorum, hopefully we'll have a couple more people join, then we can, ask someone to make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting and then vote from that point on. At this time, as you know, I sent out the meeting minutes yesterday, I think it was, in the morning. Thank goodness we got them again. Yay. We'll try to keep up on them as best we can. Does anybody, I guess, who's here now have any corrections for the minutes that you identified?
I just want to make sure I'm on that listserv. I don't think I received
that distribution list. You don't recall seeing that, Austin?
No. Okay.
I'll check my outgoing email and just make sure that you get that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
And speaking of which, we have a couple of new folks today. And welcome Austin, and welcome Nancy as well. And for folks who've been here a little while, folks who've been here in the past know that this is the beginning of our cycle, and by summer, it gets quite busy with BRC. And so we're really getting started, although there are a number of things that we talk about that are quite important at the beginning of the year that really set the stage for the rest of the year. And as you notice, there'll be things that you'll be given a lot of information throughout these meetings, a lot to absorb. Some folks are really good at absorbing the numbers. There's a lot of math involved. And really, your role as a member is to track desk good questions and think about the people you represent. So welcome, and feel free to ask any questions as we go, especially today. We're fairly, like I said, fairly early in the cycle, so there's things to discuss.
Well, I guess speaking of our new folks, maybe we should go ahead and jump into introducing them. Greta, would you like to introduce Austin?
Yeah, so we're really excited to have Austin join us. We've had a vacancy on the BRC for a while for the EA and the Housing Authority group. And so we searched for volunteers. We had a lot of volunteers, and so we asked Austin to join us. Austin, do you just want to give a quick little blurb?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Austin Robinson. I've been with the county for almost 2 years now, so sort of fresh. And I currently work as a service coordinator for people with developmental disabilities over in the Developmental Disabilities Program, or the DD program, under Social Services. And if you have any questions, just let me know.
Thanks, Austin. So in addition to Austin, we also have Nancy Artman joining us. Would you like to say a couple words, Nancy?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be part of this group. I work at the Sheriff's Office. I'm the finance manager there. So numbers are kind of my life. So if you want crunching, I'll help crunch. But I'm excited to talk about something just in addition to numbers. I've been with the county a little more than 9 years, and am really happy to be here with you all.
Great. Welcome.
Thanks, Nancy. And then finally, we have Lauren Hay. Joining us as well.
I have been off and on McClack Miss County since 2004, and I've been with Water Environment Services for a little over 5 years now, and I am their administration manager there.
Great, thanks, Lauren. And that's all of our new people for now.
Great. Welcome all. I realized I hadn't introduced myself. My name is Corey Matthews, and I'm a facilitator of BRC meetings. I actually work at Resolution Services. I'm a mediator and facilitator. So welcome. So thank you for bringing up the agenda. The first item on the agenda after the introductions is the benefits and wellness report. So for those of you who are new, we will welcome Mercer, who actually this is the benefits and wellness team. The benefits and wellness report and all the reports and Providence COVID-19 treatment coverage. Great. Go for it. Who's on call there?
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I go first. Let me share my screen. There it is. Can everyone see that okay? So, make sure I've got the right year. I pulled up last year's. Yes. So each year around this time, we give you an overview of what We saw a lot of changes during open enrollment, as well as the year-over-year changes from last year, and then overall where our employees are seem to be sitting in the free plans. So this year is in orange. So employees during open enrollment that switched from Kaiser to Providence, we saw 10. And then the other direction, Providence to Kaiser, there was 2, for a net gain of 8 to the Kaiser plan. And then movement in between the two Providence plans, the personal and the open option, was around 30 people. So just for reference, we have right around 2,000 active employee that are benefit eligible, as well as where we had around 500-600 retirees, not including Medicare, Jason.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes. So this is actually just the active employees. So given we have around 2,000, you can see these numbers. I think I say this every year, not a lot of changes really happen for the medical plans during open enrollment. A lot of people tend to pick their plan when they are hired and a lot of times stick with it. And then moving on to the dental plans, Kaiser to Delta Dental, we saw 8. The other direction, we saw 7 for a whole net gain of 1 person to Kaiser. And then between the 3 Delta Dental plans, 6 people made a change. So again, not a lot of movement during open enrollment with these plans there either. Any questions so far? Yeah, during open enrollment, mostly what we see are re-enrollments in the FSA and a lot of beneficiary changes being turned in. It's mostly what we see going on during open enrollment. And then our count at the beginning of the year, so this, what this includes is not only those open enrollment changes, but new employees and employees terming throughout the calendar year. So for Kaiser, between open enrollment and new hires and terms, we saw a net gain of 20 people. The personal option, we saw a loss of 36 people. And then the open option, we saw a gain of 42 people. Any questions about that? And just so you're aware, this is not including the Peace Officers Association. And then finally, this is how the employees sit percentage-wise. 47% are in Kaiser, 23% are in the open option, and 29% are in the personal option. And yes, I realize that comes to 99%. You got rounding here and there. just so you know, last year, Kaiser was at 47%, so that stayed steady. The personal option was at 32% of the population, so that went down a few percentage points. And then the open options last year was sitting at 21%, so went up a couple percentage points. Any questions about that? Or comments, feedback? Going once? Going twice? And you can always hit me up later or in the chat. things in the chat, let me see.
Billy, I was just going to say some of this shift is related to the January issue of insurance premium shifts, right? Is that what we're...
No, I think Jason talked about it briefly in the last meeting. We had, what, about 8 people that made a change, Jason?
If my memory serves correctly.
Yeah, and I did look at that list when I was reviewing this, and only 2 out of those 8 people had made a change to the open option at open enrollment. All the others were already in the open option plan. So I believe 1 to 2 people shifted from the Providence to the Kaiser plan, and then the rest went from personal or open to personal, but it was only 8 people.
Okay, so the additions then, like, it looked like, was it 20 people in Kaiser? So
are you talking about this one?
Yeah, like the 717 to 737.
So this is all year long. This isn't just open enrollment. It includes open enrollment, but it's also including all of the new employees and people that turn through the calendar year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. It does include new employees. Okay, just clarifying. Thank you.
Sure. Good questions. Anybody else? All right, Jason, I'll stop sharing.
Okay, sounds good. I'll take over. Let's see, I'll need to make this a little smaller, I think, so we can fit it all on the page here. All right, so I've got some additional information in addition to what Billy just shared. This is what she just finished up with. So we've also got information on total enrollments, you know, for, you know, 21 new employees. So these are new employees who are coming into the county. It's you know, what plans have they been selecting? In the past, you know, as we've shared this data, we've noticed that about close to half the people tend to be selecting Kaiser for their medical and their dental, and then switching, and then choosing between, you know, you know, the personal and the open option. A little bit more on the personal option tends to be what we've seen historically, and that's true this last year as well. So you can see that Kaiser was at 45.6% for new employee selections. The personal option came in second at 23.1%, and the open option was 15.4%. One place where we did see a, or I'm sorry, 16%. One place where we did see an increase was the opt-out at 15.4%. We had more people opting out of their benefits, whether that be because they have, you know, happen to be a spouse of a current employee, or they're, you know, just have coverage through their spouse with another employer.
Jason, we got a request if you could collapse the search bar at the X.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see, there we go.
So we can see a little nicer.
Oh, in this here, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Sidebar, Jason, it makes it a lot bigger for us. I think if you could probably zoom in. Now, you're only at 75% on your document. It's so tiny on my laptop screen.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Like, how's that?
That's much better. Now I can read those numbers. Thank you. Okay, I already need glasses, you know?
Okay, so, and then dental, somewhat similar. You know, we've got 46.2% selecting Kaiser, and then instead of, you know, Providence, of course, we've got Delta Dental for the other option. We have three different plans to choose from: the preventive, the constant, and the incentive. As with the previous year, for the Delta Dental plans, the preventive is taking the lion's share at 30.2%, whereas both the constant and incentive plans are pretty close to the same, 11.8% and 10.7%. I take that back. It's the constant is at 1.2%, and the so that's hardly anybody going into that plan, which is interesting. So we actually have 10.7% that are opting out. What's interesting about that is that both opting out and selecting the Delta Dental Constant plan, which is often referred to as the 50% plan, because most of the coverage is provided at 50%, they both provide cash back in people's paycheck. And the difference in cash back between enrolling in the Constant plan versus opting out altogether is $1. So there's not a huge incentive to opt out, but people are still overwhelmingly, when they are choosing a lower coverage option or opting out, are just opting out. And then we've got the actual numbers listed below. Sorry about that. We had a total of 169 benefit eligible new hires in 2021. Just like with Billy's data that she spoke about, this is general county employees only. This is not including the POA group. And for anybody who doesn't know, POA stands for Peace Officers Association. All right. And then looking at the overall medical enrollment. Sorry, I am jumping around here. Okay, so overall, as of 2022 employee medical enrollment, we've got for the represented and the non-represented group, we have this split out because we've had that asked in the past. We want to see what the medical and the dental enrollment is by not just the total represented and not represented as one, but split out among the two. So, Nancy, you had a question.
Yeah, I'm curious if you have the ratio of number of new enrollments versus those who are coming off of benefits each year, either due to termination or retirements.
You know, I haven't looked at that. That's a good question, though. So that was the ratio of new enrollments versus
people who are just coming off for various
retirement. Yeah, terms and retirement. I mean, ideally, you know, we have a one-to-one, you know, switch on those, you know, we have people going out, new people coming in. Doesn't always work that way, but yeah, that's a good question. That's something I can look at and get back to you on.
Thanks.
So just looking at the totals first, so we have 2022 employee medical enrollments, you know, combined. We have, you know, non-rep and rep combined. Most people are kind of like what the new employees we saw enrolled in the Kaiser plan, pretty close to that same percentage as well, 47%. I didn't include the opt-out people here, but we have open option, 23% of total employees, and 30% in the personal option total employees. Now, when we're just looking at the non-rep employees, the percentage of Kaiser is significantly smaller. It's down to 32%, and instead of the 44, I think it was, percent up above
47.
Yeah, thank you. Personal option again significantly less as well. We've got 12%. So bulk of the non-represented employees are on the open option, 56%. And then when we look at the represented employees, so we're breaking it out again, similar to what we see in the group overall, but a little bit more on the Kaiser side. Instead of 47%, we've got 50% for Kaiser Medical and Vision, significantly more on the personal option than the open option for the Providence plans, 36% versus 14%. And we include the total numbers down below for those as well. And space there. Dental enrollments. So starting off with total dental enrollments, similar to the medical plans, we've got 44% on the Kaiser dental plan. For the other three options, again, I left out the opt-out for these total calculations. We've got most people on the preventive plan, which again kind of somewhat reflects what new employees are selecting. That's 29%. The close second is the Delta Dental incentive at 24%. And only 3% of employees enrolling in the constant plan. When we look at that on the non-rep group, we have less people enrolled in the Kaiser Dental, 29%. And then a pretty even split between the incentive and the preventive plan, 35% versus 33%, just a little bit more towards the preventive. But just like with the overall picture, 3% selecting the constant plan. And then for the represented group, again, 3% for the constant, significantly more on the Kaiser plan, 48%. Again, a semi-fair split, 27 and 22 for the Delta Dental incentive preventive plan, but a little bit more of a weight towards the preventive plan for this one. And again, we have the numbers down below as well, if you're interested in those. I think that's all I have for the data. So before I move on to this next thing, did we have any additional questions? I see some chat stuff here, so I'll just look in there, see if I see anything there. Yes, Chris.
I'm curious on those little slivers of percentages, those small numbers in those plans, how that affects, like, overall rates. Or, I mean, you know, we're offering an option to people that very, very few people are taking advantage of. So,
yeah, I tend to see more retirees and COBRA participants interested in that option, you know, COBRA participants after open enrollment. But, yeah, I see more retirees enrolled in the 50% plan, just something to get them by. But yeah, and to that observation that you make, you may have noticed if you look historically at the rate changes for the dental plans, this tends to be a bigger percentage swing with the right. constant plan year over year.
Right, because few people can drive the claims on that plan. You know, they have a crown or something. It doesn't take many to drive that. But on the, Chris, so on the admin fee, there wouldn't really be any change in the admin fee for dropping a plan necessarily, just because they are so small, you know, enrollment-wise anyway. So, but yeah.
Yeah, you kind of got where I was going with that. Yep. Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you. Just asking.
Good question. All right. Any other questions before I move on? I'll take silence as a no. All right. So, this other thing that we have on the agenda here is related to COVID-19 treatment as it's been applied in recently due to some guidance that had been provided by the state, if I remember correctly. So it's related to legislation and guidance where they were telling insurance companies that that they were required to cover COVID treatment, so not just testing, but treatment in full for certain services through July 31st of 2021. So big picture, that's what Kaiser decided to do, was to, you know, extend that coverage just to July 31st, 2021. And Clackamas County, we had made the decision to extend that coverage for the entirety of 2021 for the Providence plans. Now Kaiser, like I said, they've ended this extension of coverage. What that just means is that COVID treatment isn't covered in full. Now it's still covered. It's just the participant is going to pay, you know, if there's a copay associated with the doctor visit, or they're in the hospital and they have a co-insurance, or they have some testing that's being done, and they have a percentage of the cost that they're supposed to pay through normal, you know, coverage, then those things will apply. They'll pay their copay, they'll pay their co-insurance. If the deductible applies, they'll pay their deductible. They don't have to pay zero out of pocket for it anymore. Providence continued, like I said, continued to cover it in full for certain services through the end of last year. And now Providence is coming back to us and asking if we want to keep doing it, essentially. Do we want to continue to cover those things in full? There are, as of February 16th, which is when we, you know, gathered this data together, there were 26 claims that, you know, would be impacted by this decision if the BRC chose to continue to provide full coverage for these benefit, you know, for COVID treatment, which would result in a total cost of $7,460.30. Now that's just for those claims as of February 16th. That doesn't include any new stuff that potentially would come up if this gets extended. And Greta, I see that you're raising your hand.
Just a point of clarification, Jason. So what we're saying is that so far for this year, so for 2022, since January 1st, they have not been covered in full. So employees or members have already been experiencing the way the plan was before the cost coverage. So what we're saying is if we chose to extend this, then it's not that we're going back and people are going to get charged more. It's the opposite. I just want to make sure that was the case to kind of inform our discussions.
That is correct. Yeah. So
no one would get a surprise bill as a result of any changes we made here. If anything, they would get a refund check or something like that, potentially.
Exactly correct.
That just helps inform what we're talking about here. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for providing that clarification. So we do have a recommendation. We do recommend letting this particular coverage or additional coverage, I should say, expire. Like Greta just pointed out, it's already being administered that way as of January 1st. There are a number of other considerations. We've got I was just watching the news earlier. We've got yet another Omicron variant coming through. It's 80% more contagious than even the Omicron variant. So I was like, oh my goodness, is it ever going to end? And we're all taking off masks now. So potential for more people to get sick, more hospitalizations, more potential costs to the plan. Plus, because Kaiser's not covering this particular these things in full anymore themselves, it doesn't make sense to us that we would continue it on one plan versus another. So that's our recommendation. But it's up to the BRC to decide what makes the most sense. So really, we want to open this to conversation and hear what your thoughts are.
Thank you, Jason. So this will be a formal vote. So for new folks who are here, this is a discussion at this moment, but at some point there could be a formal vote which would require a motion and a second and then a vote by folks on this team. So any questions or discussion about this before or as part of this discussion or whether there's going to be a motion?
And if you needed to, yeah, Greta's got a good question. Do we have a quorum? Billy's shaking her head, yes.
Ed just had to leave, but even with his leaving, we have just enough for a quorum.
Okay.
Good clarification. Another good clarification from Greta.
Yeah. You're on top of it, Greta. We appreciate you. In the handouts that I emailed out, there's also a couple of pages that show exactly what is being covered in full and what that out-of-pocket cost would be for employees, if we allow this this additional coverage to expire. So, and I can share that as well.
Yeah, can you share that? I don't know if I received that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it readily either, Jason, and I have all mine in a folder, so...
Yeah, no problem. Let me go ahead and do that really quick.
And just to clarify, you're just to let it expire, as Jason is saying, you're just covering COVID treatment like any other medical condition, basically deductible and co-insurance if that applies.
Yeah, so over here we have the type of coverage is what we're calling out, how the COVID treatment cost share has been handled previous to January 1st because of that that legislation and guidance what that will change to if it's not extended and how it's being administered currently as of January 1st.
I have a quick question for the group. Are there any other specific medical conditions that we have that are covered differently than the rest of the plan, or has COVID been the only exception that we've had? So, we have a plan, right? And, if you have an office visit, we don't necessarily have, if you have a primary urgent care office visit, are there any other ways in which we differentiate between those currently other than COVID? This is my question. Or has this been the only instance of where we've treated a specific health condition completely differently in terms of coverage than some of those other things?
Ursa, do you have any information on that? That's a great question, Greta. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I can't either. I was thinking, I can't think of anything. You know, you have different things covered a little different, like in alternative care or things like that, but it's, but that's not the case here. Yeah.
Yeah, other than having emergency services treated as an in-network emergency, whether even if you're out of network, I can't think of anything else. And that was, that's always been in place.
Right.
Yes.
Initially, I was a little bit concerned about what that would mean for folks out of pocket, since we're still trying to recover economically. But looking at the comparison you've provided, it doesn't look like it's a significant burden. And the hospitalization, if I'm reading that correctly, looks like it stayed exactly the same in terms of copay. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. The hospitalization staying the same, but yeah, if they have to take a trip to the emergency room, you know, all those follow-up doctor visits, you know, each one, you know, would have a copay associated with it.
Right.
Whether they have a virtual or online visit.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but the emergency room visit, $100, if you end up getting admitted, then that's usually waived once you're admitted. But if you're...
Yeah, the copay's waived, but then at that point you're hospitalized, so your hospitalization coverage would come into play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's not a change, that part. It would just... So, yeah.
So if there's a new variant that puts a lot of people in harm's way, it might impact us a bit on total cost.
Right, in terms of claims, yeah, and claims expense. Yeah, it could.
And then the federal government may come back and reinstitute some of this as well.
Hmm. Well, with all that in mind, I guess I would move that we go ahead and adopt the change for the last half of 21.
Are you trying to say we recommend that we just let this expire as it was?
Yeah, the change will be effective 1/1/22.
Yeah. So yep. Essentially, that is the motion to not take action on this, let it expire.
Yes.
I would second that.
So the motion is to let this expire as recommended by Benefits Wellness. We have a second. Any further question or discussion before we vote? Don't see any. Okay, so now we vote.
Well, let me get the motion down so that's
after. Okay. Billy is the one that tracks these things.
Right.
And we'll need a voice vote. Well, if you need to do it by chat, that's fine. Somebody will read out your vote. Tell us when you're ready, Billy.
Okay, so the motion, if I understand correctly, is to let the COVID treatment being paid in full for the Providence plans to expire effective 1/1/2022. Did I get that accurately?
Yes.
Okay. That was a first from David and a second from Greta. Okay. So when I read your name, a yes is to accept the motion. A no is to not accept the motion. Nancy,
clarification, Billy?
Yeah.
Are we doing Kaiser and Providence on a separate vote, or are we considering them both at the same time?
We don't have to do Kaiser because Kaiser is, we don't get the choice, and they have already.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I for me.
Okay. Rochelle Bonzi?
Oh, Rochelle says I'm in favor, yes.
Okay, thank you. Chris Gannenbrein?
Yes.
Trish Elmer?
Yes.
Lauren Haney?
Yes.
Austin Robinson?
Yes.
Dina Medicon?
Yes.
Greta Nickerson?
Yes.
Gretchen Pacheco?
Yes.
David Sohn?
Yes.
That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 votes. The motion passes.
Good work. All right. I'll pull up the agenda again really quick. Thank you. Yeah, because the next item is the member reports. Feedback from members, other priorities and concerns. So thank you for participating in the vote. That's our first one in the year, so that's great. All right. Member reports. This is more of an open discussion about what you're hearing from your members, other things that are coming up, things that the BRC should be tracking. And I did note your, David, you had mentioned to the host of the panel that you saw the proposed contract. The BRC is responsible for definition of domestic partner, life insurance benefit, and the disability plan. That's an interesting question, and I'd be curious as well.
So I know what he's referring to. The BRC language kind of talks to this issue, and in the labor, in the collective bargaining agreements is what David's referring to. And probably 3 or 4 years ago, I brought up the same question, and we sort of looked at the issue then and determined that we couldn't raise life insurance for particular reasons, and we don't really have an influence over some of those things, but it doesn't hurt to bring it up and have a discussion again. We got new members, and it might be good to sort of revisit those topics. I don't know if the benefits team has anything to sort of add in relation to that or not.
Yeah, so the discussion is regard to the amount of the policy, then that is outside the scope of this committee. It is done through bargaining. The rates, correct me if I'm wrong, Marissa, are kind of, we get a 5-year or 2 to 5 year rate locks usually on those rates for those policy amounts?
2 to 3, depending, yeah.
Okay. And they are, that particular plan, the premium is 100% county paid, so you're not having any out-of-pocket costs for that. But yeah, if you're wanting to increase your, you know, if you've got a $50,000 policy and you're wanting $75,000, that would be done through bargaining.
That does bring up a good question. What authority does the BRC have in regards to the life insurance and disability plans? Yeah, David also mentions the domestic partner or definition of who eligible dependents are, I think is kind of where you're getting at with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask what we were talking about with definition of domestic partner, because I thought those were more governed when it comes to at least the insurance. That's not something that, I mean, I know occasionally we get questions in some of the coverage when we're talking about what we're going to agree to cover or not, but it's more of the plan design, and anyone who's able to get in on the plan would have like those types of coverage. But I thought that was defined more at like a state, or like, I don't know that we have, are they just putting that in those, is the intent in the collective bargaining that we can talk about those things and bring them up as member reports to get that information back to the benefits team at Mercer? Or
so I actually have a really good example of what this means. We have a domestic partner affidavit form that employees can fill out when they want to add a domestic partner. And on it, it defines, you know, the criteria for being a domestic partner. And for example, that form used to require that domestic partners had to have lived with each other for at least the prior 6 months. And then the state changed their guidelines on that and changed the language on their form. And so when they made that change, we brought that to this committee's attention, and they agreed we should follow that and change our form to match that as well. So that would be an example of bringing a definition of domestic partner in front of the committee. Anything contrary from Mercer? Did I?
No, it's going to be it's going to be dictated by state and your internal guidelines around that.
Yeah, in fact, recently I did actually make a change to the affidavit of domestic partnership form because the language was not being inclusive for non-binary for at the state taxation requirements. Back when this form was last done, it basically said, it said opposite-sex domestic partners were not eligible for registration with the state and would be taxed. Well, actually, the language that updated to say non-registered domestic partners are not eligible for the tax holiday from the state. So changes like that to, get with the times and be more inclusive are things that could potentially be brought before the BRC.
Yeah, I think, to go a little deeper, on the life insurance and the disability plan and what exactly is the authority in terms of, determining eligibility of dependents and that sort of thing. I think we'll have to do a little bit of a deeper dive on our end and come back with some information on that. So I've got that written down and we'll do some research. We can come back with that at a future meeting.
Is there, our scope is to look at what the plans offer and, manipulate that?
We call it plan design, basically. It's like the design of the plans, essentially.
So I don't know if, just reviewing them, looking at are there other options? Should we be shopping other options? What value are we getting for what we're paying? I mean, those are all good things for us as oversight group to be able to maybe visit. I don't want to get into the defining, groups and who's in and who's out and what it covers and that kind of stuff. I'd rather just look at, is it a good plan for the value that the county's paying and what does it cover, kind of a thing.
Well, that's what I brought it up for, is because I don't think we've ever talked about any of that since I've been on the BRC.
Yeah, it's true. We've tended to be focused mostly on the vision, dental, and medical. Yeah, so that's a good point.
Okay, sounds like you can bring some more information as it comes up, Jason.
Yeah, and it sounds like this might even be like a renewal priority where we're, we're adding this to the priorities of, we want to review, with those things within scope associated with the life insurance and the disability, review our plans.
Right. And from Mercer's perspective, we could do that. I don't know if we knew if it was a BRC item or not, to be honest.
Well, and if we're responsible to the folks that we work with to kind of be a resource, why it'd be nice to know what we're being a resource for.
Good point, David.
And for new folks, you'll hear us referring sometimes to things being in scope or out of scope of BRC. The BRC has there's a boundary between negotiations and BRC discussions, and we really are focusing mainly on the benefits. And so you occasionally hear us referencing things being in scope or out of scope, and sometimes it's unclear what those boundaries are. But you'll hear us, various people in this committee discuss what those boundaries are. Other items from your feedback from your members or other priorities or concerns? Yes, Greta, you had your hands up before, I think I saw.
Yeah, no, I was not urgent, but as I was teasing Keith a little bit, I did switch back to the Kaiser Dental plan. So I had some feedback on that because I left Kaiser Dental because it was like impossible to get in. And as we were saying, like it would take months to schedule an appointment and we weren't getting the reminders and things like that. So I switched and then I promptly forgot to call. But then I did call and I got in within a week to get my new appointment. And a lot of times you had to wait a long time for those because I needed to have x-rays and all that. So it was much faster to get in. They are still really behind on kids' appointments. Like, I can't get my daughter in for a long time. So that's kind of concerning because she has a very active little, like, dental mouth. So there's still some trouble there. But they did say, too, that I would get a reminder in 2 months and could schedule in 2 months for my 6 month, which was an improvement from before. Before, they would say, call 2 weeks before your 6 month is due. So I think maybe all of the what they're hearing from people is helping. But I just wanted to say, so far, knock on wood, it's been a better experience. And then I was told when I was leaving that I could schedule, you can do cleanings, like routine cleanings you can schedule through their app, but like your more comprehensive ones, if you haven't been in for a while and need x-rays and things, you do still have to call for those. So maybe they're hearing from us and finally learning a little bit, but so far it's been better. So I just wanted to share that with the team, and hopefully other people are seeing that happen too. No, we bring it up like every time they come. So
yeah, I've actually had better experience here recently with dental too, getting appointments and work done.
No cancellations at 4 a.m. the day of the appointment.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say, you got to have a pretty low baseline to start at with your past experience. So you can only go up from there.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's been an ongoing theme here. We've heard from members and from the folks here present some concerns over the past. Other issues coming up that you're hearing of from your members? And it was early in the cycle. Okay. Other questions, thoughts? I notice we're next scheduled for a break. We're actually a little over, but we're not doing a lot for the second half of the meeting, so we may be able to move to a break. Any other thoughts or questions? Okay. All right. So we're scheduled for a 10-minute break. Why don't we take that now? It is 2:23, so we'll be back at 2:33 and see you then. And then we'll see what we do for time. We may be able to be done before 3:30 today. We'll see how this goes. Thank you all. Thank you for your attention. See you in 10 minutes. Welcome, folks. All right. Yeah. Headshots, yeah. It makes me wonder if I should have a headshot with my mask on, mask off, whether I'm in my office or not, although that's changing again. Welcome. Our next agenda item, let's see. Okay. Yep, there it is. Established 2023 renewal priorities. Let's see, do we have the 2022 priorities available?
Yeah, so as part of the handouts, and I think they're in the summary as well. I had included, and I'll pull it up here, the draft 2023 plan year renewal priorities. So based on the conversation that the BRC had last month, these were the priorities that were identified. And I went ahead and put them into categories to make them a little bit easier to keep track of. So I hope that was helpful. And then there was also an interest in monitoring previous plan changes to determine how well they are functioning. That was, I think, exactly what someone said. and so on here, I put in what those changes were. We've got last year's plan changes and all the way back to 2019. And then if you need a refresh on what we had for our 2022 plan year renewals, we've got those on that second page as well.
Thank you, Jason. Questions about that?
So I think what we want to find out is if there's, based on anything that you've learned since last time, if there's any changes at this point, additions, whatever that you would like to have for the 2023 draft plan year renewal priorities. And I did hear one of them, which was, you know, we want to review the life insurance and disability plans and understand what the BRC's authority is in terms of dependent eligibility determination.
Jason, this is Joe. I'll say something real quick. So one of those things under high claims is monitor claims and cost containment options for psoriasis. So some of those on the large claims that were there, we'll get more when we have the vendor summits as far as what the prescriptions were for. In some cases, a prescription might do more than one thing, and maybe we put psoriasis and maybe it ended up being something else. But I think we'll get more information on that type of thing in our vendor summit because they'll get into more detail. So...
questions about any of these? I know for new folks it's probably a lot to digest thinking about the next year, but if you need clarification, please chime in here. The goal of these conversations is to shape the direction of the BRC and seeing if there are efficiencies that the BRC can identify in thinking about the plans.
Does it look like I captured that successfully?
Jason, you might just add like somewhat similar to how we do with the medical, maybe. I mean, we don't need to look at it in such depth necessarily, but like when we're looking at plan design and then also like issues, like, you know, should we be reaching out to our members if they have, you know, issues? Not that necessarily we would hear about those a lot, but if there were things that we needed to bring up that are within the scope of the BRC for those items.
How would you phrase that? It goes a lot. So.
I would say, treat these items similar to the way we check in on medical and dental throughout the year. And we're pretty good about talking about what we have agency over with the medical and dental. So, if we have agency over something like that, so maybe that's determine the authority of the BRC around dependent eligibility or, you know, agency for changes of those plans. I mean, we talked about like review of how efficient the plans are, but would it be within the scope of the BRC to change that vendor? I don't know that that would be the case. So I think we have to figure out what our role is there first before we could determine like a priority there.
Right.
Okay. Other thoughts on that or other priorities to be considered? It is early in the year, though, for a lot of these things, if it is a big direction, a big project, for instance, the earlier the better if you're thinking about it in your direction.
Some things may come out of the vendor summit as well, again, you know, based on what the data says. Probably won't be a lot different from year to year, but there may be something that triggers.
Okay. Yeah, and speaking of which, that is the next agenda item. I'm not hearing any other, nobody's beating down the door to speak up at this moment, so that's okay.
Corey, I have one more. I just wanted to say, for how things ended last year, kind of in like, you know, late August, September, and then sort of what we're still seeing this year, I would say I've heard a lot more around mental health still. And I know these aren't listed in terms of priority as far as the order goes, but those were big issues that we were discussing last year around like the ability to get in for those appointments, especially for children. We're still hearing that around the news. I mean, it's still a very, very big issue. So I would say I at least would be interested in making sure that that one is still maybe something the vendors address to when they come next month. If they want to talk about that specifically, I know in the past we've asked them to focus on like musculoskeletal or some of those other things. For me, I'd be really interested in hearing about mental health, because I think that's really relevant right now.
Yes, thank you, Greta. That was one thing that did come up quite a bit last year, especially around children and mental health issues. So it sounds like that's a vote of these priorities to make that a priority, right?
Priority of the priority, so to speak.
Yeah. Other thoughts? Okay. So, yes, the next item on the agenda is about the May vendor presentations, April and May, and like you mentioned, Joe, there's some things that may come up in those may trigger other conversations or thoughts about priorities. So we'll turn it over to Mercer for this item.
Yeah, I don't know if Keith is still on. I know he had to step away.
Yeah, I'm on.
You want to talk to this or? Yeah.
Yeah. So we, for those that are new, we have what we call vendor summits every year, and this gives the your vendor partners a chance to come in, talk to you, kind of give a recap of the year and what they've seen, trends, claim issues. We always ask them to come loaded with recommendations and solutions. And Greta, hearing what you said, that has definitely been a hot topic amongst all of our clients. And we've been having a lot of discussions with clients about that and utilizing the services that are already there that aren't being fully utilized, but hearing you loud and clear about accessibility. And I don't know that they'll have a solution for that just because of the shortage of providers and versus demand, but certainly we'll address that and ask them to do so. I believe we already have, but I'll double check that because that was one of the things that we said is, and they're quite aware that behavioral health is just such a huge topic of concern. So we'll definitely focus on that. We will have Kaiser
Keith, you're cutting out.
Providence, the exact date. Okay, sorry. I might be in a spot where I'm getting a little spotty. I'll do my best. You let me know if I cut out.
Okay, you're good right now.
Okay. So I don't know what I last said that you may have caught, that I Providence and Kaiser will be presenting the first BRC meeting, followed by Delta Dental and VSP the second meeting, and that'll be a shorter meeting. That way, obviously, medical is much more complex, and we will have them come in, and you'll also be an opportunity for you to ask questions. We'll make it interactive this year. Sometimes we've held those questions till the very end, but that seemed a little bit clunky, and via Zoom, I think we're all used to raising our hands or using chat or getting the attention, and you can certainly feed questions to us, which we'll make sure that we ask of the vendors if you don't want to ask directly or if it's easier to do it that way. The one thing we would ask for everyone is to be attentive, not multitask, be engaged, listen to what they have to say, and then take that back to your members. A lot of things, what we hear is stuff that is covered during those meetings. So it's really critical that everyone be laser focused on what's being said and where they're directing you to resources and so forth. So that's kind of it in a nutshell with regard to the vendor meetings. For those of you who have been on the BRC for some time, you kind of know the drill, how that goes.
That's kind of it. Feel free to ask me any questions. Or Joe, we can field those.
Go for it, Jason.
Yeah, so just for clarification for the newer people, when Keith was saying first meeting and second meeting, he's referring to the April meeting. You know, we'll have the medical vendors, and then the May meeting, we'll have the others.
Anything to add to that, Joe? Anything else folks should think about?
Nope, I think Keith covered it all on that.
Okay, great. Any questions from folks about this? Okay. So yeah,
actually, Corey, I think something we've done in the past is if anyone had any questions prior to the meetings for the vendors, to email those to me, and I can put them in a spreadsheet so that the vendors can provide answers on that spreadsheet. And then also after those meetings, when those prompt additional questions that maybe don't get answered during the meeting, we can add those to the spreadsheet and then get all the final answers back to you after all the vendors have responded.
Is there a due date for those pre-meeting questions?
Good question. So our next meeting is April 21st, correct?
Yes.
So
I would say at least a week before that, though, just because you gotta be, in case carriers have to do some research.
Well, I mean, today's the 17th. Why don't we say March 31st, give you guys a couple of weeks to think of any questions you might have, get those to me, we'll get them off to the vendors. And then again, after these meetings, you'll have another opportunity to submit more questions, and we'll name a final due date for those later on.
Okay, so thank you. So yes, if there are questions for the vendors, get those to Billy sooner than later, and spend with the due date by the 14th.
No, 31st.
Okay. All right. There'll be a lot of information coming, so be ready for information overload if you're new. There's a lot they provide to us. Okay. All right. I think that's that for that topic. And let's see. Oops. Oh, Keith is just apologizing for the audio. We could actually hear you, Keith. Most of the time, you were just stretched out a little bit. So yeah.
There's a little max headroom going on there. A couple
times. Yeah. it worked out fine. This is the real world in Zoom. This is what we all deal with. So no surprises there. So from the agenda, I think we have now an open for the rest of the time, which is substantial, which we likely wouldn't fill. We have an open topic of just whatever business folks have in mind, any other things that have been left out. Since the next two meetings really are information packed and we're kind of getting fed information to us, it really is a time to, if you have something that the BRC folks should think about, it now is the time to really bring these topics up now, because it will be a little while before there's a lot of time to really digest all this. Chris, did you have something in mind?
I just was thinking, it seemed like years ago we used to just have this list of all the members that said who was represented and who was non-represented. Yeah, some of the folks are shaking heads. Like, so as new members come on, how are we supposed to know who's who and what position we're sort of holding here on the BRC?
That is a fantastic question, Chris. Let me show you where that information is. Okay, so this is our main benefits web page, right? This is the external web. Anybody could access it from anywhere. Because we're a meeting that is subject to public meeting laws, we have certain requirements that we have to meet, which I know we discussed those in depth, at a previous meeting. But one of those is to post a lot of information online. So On our main benefits page, down under benefit, or I'm sorry, related contacts, we have the benefits review committee, and that that brings you to where most anything and everything, you know, related to the BRC is located, or at least anything that has to be there is located. So we've got the bylaws, and we've got that committee roster right there as well. So I'll go ahead and pull that up. And that's where you should be able to find an active list of who is a member of the BRC, whether they're a voting member, what group they represent. You'll see a couple of TBDs there for the non-reps as well. We're working on getting those filled. And we got the non-voting members listed also. We do not put contact information on here or any of that kind of stuff, but we are required to post names of committee members.
All right, that helps. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's public information. Yeah. Good question, Chris. All right. Other thoughts or questions? I'm wondering if maybe this for Jason or Billy, any tips for new folks as they as we move into the next April and May meetings? Any suggestions?
You know, just make sure you've had your coffee or whatever it is that keeps you energized. And, you know, it's a lot of numbers, a lot of information that's going to be coming at you. Probably this first year is not going to make a ton of sense for you. You know, as you kind of begin to ease your way into the committee and get used to hearing this stuff, you know, you'll become more accustomed to understanding what it is exactly that they're presenting to us. So,
yeah, be sure and read the material that comes out in advance because it gets deep.
It does. There's a lot to it. Yeah.
You'll get bored of hearing me talk. Come bring all time.
And you know, there are no bad questions ever. You're making very important decisions, so it's really important that you have an understanding of everything that's been presented to you, and so don't hesitate to ask questions.
We'll find out which members are really good at math. That's one thing I've noticed. Numbers, some folks really are like tracking numbers really well. That wasn't me in school. All right. Any other topics or items to address before the end of today? Oh, I see your
I did want to mention that I have brought this up before. There were some changes handed down from the Board of County Commissioners regarding your bylaws. They are mainly around the areas of equity, diversity, inclusion. And I've been promising to get those to you. I'm anticipating, since we're having the vendor summits the next 2 months, that we would have some time to spend on those during the June meetings. You'll get that information in advance. You'll be able to have discussion, and then we can finalize those finalize the restatement of the bylaws with those changes. Hopefully either by the final meeting in June, or if we need to go a little bit into July, I think there's probably some capacity in those meetings as well.
Thank you, Billy. It looks like, Rochelle, you have your hand up. Oh, you're muted.
So I'd like to see if we could get an accounting of the stop loss funds that we've received. I know we've asked in the past for that, and I don't know maybe I missed it, so I'm just wondering if we could see an accounting of that.
Yeah, I think that's a stop loss.
Sorry, go ahead.
Stop loss reimbursements that you get for members. Okay. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, noted. Looks like you're on it, Joe. All right. Other questions, thoughts, requests? All right. Well, we are winding down here. We're going to end early, as I expected. I'm not seeing anything else. Anything else you want to say, Jason or Billy, to add before we go?
No, I'm happy to give you guys a little over a half hour back to your day.
Exactly. All right. We'll have a great rest of your week, all of you. Thank you for your attention, and see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.